Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been thinking together about a very, very important subject for the Christian. This subject is the example of Christ to the believer. We live in this world of discouragement, of problems, of trials. We suffer all kinds of disappointments. Some people believe that when we become Christians, problems will disappear. I believe God does take away many problems, but God does not promise He will take away everything. There are mountains of life that we have to climb as we go through this life. We thank the Lord that we have someone in our lives, the Lord Jesus Himself, who goes through with us in these problems, who goes through the problems, who carries us through, who is constantly at our side. But God does not take away everything. And as we live in this world, we also need much encouragement and much help. As we live in this world, we only have one true example, and that is the example of the Lord Jesus Himself. I say this very carefully and very cautiously, but sometimes we Christians will fail. We should not excuse ourselves when we fail, but sometimes we will not always act perfectly. We will not always treat people perfectly. Even the unsaved notice this. They watch us at work. They watch us in school. They watch us in our neighborhoods. And they see that sometimes we don't care as much as we should for other people. Sometimes we're not willing to give as much as we should to help other people. We don't join in the problems and needs of other people as we should. And we should be sorry for this. We should be very humble in confessing sometimes that we're not always like we should be. This does not excuse us, of course. Jesus wants us to be an example to other people. But isn't it wonderful that when we ourselves fail, or when other Christians fail, and the unsaved people and even other Christians say that it's difficult for them to find other people a help because sometimes other people don't seem to care, we can point them to the Lord Jesus Himself. What I'm trying to say is this. No one is without excuse if they're simply saying, others fail me, therefore I will not become a Christian. Therefore I will not follow the Lord as a Christian like I should. No one is without excuse in this matter. We need not take this as an excuse. In fact, we can't accept this as an excuse. So when we come before the Lord, and we have such a perfect example, the Lord Jesus is our reason for believing in Him. The Lord Jesus is our reason for following Him. At this point, I want to talk about how Jesus is our example in sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 20, in verses 27 and 28, we read these words, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." And then this verse, verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Now you recognize in this passage there are two examples of the Lord Jesus, and I want to use the second of these examples. The example of the Lord Jesus in sacrificing Himself for our sakes. Sacrificing Himself for our sakes. Have you ever wondered, and have you ever meditated upon what it costs the Lord Jesus to come into this world? The cost of coming into this world. How for this time of some 33.5 years, the Lord Jesus gave up the glory of heaven to come down to this sin-sick world, to a world of lost, hopeless sinners who needed a Savior. Have you ever wondered what it costs the Lord Jesus to limit the use of His attributes? He could not be in every place at once. As God the Son, He, of course, has omnipresence. It's a phrase we use in theology. He also could be omniscient. He could know everything. He could be all-powerful. He could do anything. So as the Lord of glory, God the Son, He gave up these things, some of these attributes, in the full use of them. He did not cease to be God, but he gave up the full use of some of his attributes in order to come down. So it costs the Lord Jesus in every possible way even to come into the world. And then, of course, the cost of living here and moving in the world of sinful people, in the world of sin and temptation, the tremendous cost he paid. Imagine how trying it was for him when he had come to save the nation of Israel. And then so many of them rejected him. Now thousands, to be fair, thousands of the people of Israel accepted him and trusted him as their Lord and Savior. But down through the centuries, so many have rejected him. And then imagine what it cost the Lord Jesus when the Gentile people, who had been rejected in the Old Testament by fellowship, they'd been rejected for inclusion in the nation of Israel. But now in the Lord Jesus, he has come to die for the world, not only for the world of God's people, the Jews, but he had come to die for the entire world. Every nation, every tribe, every race of people, the rich and the poor, people of every class, Jesus came to die on the cross for them. But what it cost him when these people, many of them, rejected him? Who were those people who cried out when he was being tried, "Crucify him, crucify him"? "Here I've come to give my life," the Lord Jesus must have been saying. "I'm giving my life for these very people who are crying out. And now they are crying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" And so the Lord Jesus paid a price to come into this world. Now this brings me to what I want to say about our lives as Christians. There is a cost to be paid in following the Lord Jesus. And sometimes we're not willing to make this sacrifice. There is a tremendous price to be paid. Don't misunderstand what I have just said. It is not the price of buying our salvation. You and I can never in any way purchase our salvation. There is no good work I have ever done, am now doing, or will ever do, which will ever buy or merit my salvation. Some people try this. They go to church. They participate in all of the ceremonies of the church. They are faithful in this thing and that thing. And somehow in their imagination, they are hoping to add to God's grace by earning part of their salvation. In other words, when I appear before God, surely God will accept me. He'll remember the good things I have done, my church attendance and everything. No, we don't buy our salvation. There is no thing I do for the church or in the church. There is no one else who can save me from my sins or even help me be saved. Neither I nor anyone else can help you be saved. You're saved by the grace of God. I can give you the gospel, of course, but I cannot in any way help you gain your salvation. I myself am a sinner saved by the grace of God. So what I'm saying about sacrifice is not somehow earning my way to heaven, but rather it is sacrificing in thanksgiving to God because of my salvation. So I'm saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus as my only way to heaven. I reject every other means. I reject every other person that I might be tempted to call upon. And I come to the feet of the Lord Jesus and I trust him. And now in gratitude, I say to the Lord Jesus, "No matter what you ask of me, no matter what is required of me, I am willing now to follow you with all my heart." And I'm trying to say, there is a price to be paid in following the Lord Jesus. It is a tremendous price to be paid. First of all, we are giving up our former sins. We formerly had walked in the pleasures of this world. Is there pleasure in sin? Of course there is. There is pleasure in sin. Even people who are slaves to certain kinds of sin are getting certain types of enjoyment out of them. There is joy and pleasure, not real joy, but worldly joy, sinful joy and pleasure in walking with sinful people. We have sinful friends. These friends take us wherever they want to take us. They give us certain pleasures in life. They lead us into pleasures we never dreamed we would ever enjoy. And so there is pleasure in the world of sin. When we come to the Lord Jesus, now our joy is in the Lord Jesus. Our hope is in eternity. Our joy is in getting from God His favor and His blessing. And so we recognize there is a price to be paid in giving up our former sinful practices. The Bible speaks of those who love the world. And many, of course, in the world who are unsaved have a love for the world. They love those things they're doing. They gain pleasure from them. But now they are to center their love upon the Lord Jesus. And so we give up the sinful practices. Sometimes, of course, with that we give up sinful friends. In fact, sinful friends will very often reject us. If this is the kind of man or woman or young person you're going to be, I want nothing to do with you. Sometimes even at school friends of our teenage sons and daughters, those who become Christians, will reject them completely. And suddenly this son, this daughter, who before had many friends among the unsaved, now finds that he's alone. It's a price he pays for the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we make sacrifices in our labor for God. I think of people who've gone to strange places to labor for God. I can think of people even here in the Mariana Islands who are out in lonely places. They may be the only Christian family in an entire society. They are there in the name of the Lord Jesus, representing the Lord Jesus. And so there are sacrifices to be made. I remember leaving my home and family more than 50 years ago when I first went out to the mission field. I was appointed in February of 1953. Then I went out to the Philippines as a missionary that summer as a single missionary. And I'm not trying to exalt myself by saying this, but I remember the pain of leaving my father and mother, leaving my family, leaving my home. I remember the tears on the railroad platform as I said goodbye to my mother, not realizing it would be 5 years before I would see her again. And so there are sacrifices to be made. But it's worth it to make sacrifices for the Lord Jesus and to make sacrifices in His name. There is nothing that I have ever given up for the sake of Christ that God has not repaid me 1,000-fold. I was asked one time on a church platform, "What hardships have you gone through for the sake of Christ?" He was expecting to hear a long list of all of the hardships I supposedly had gone through. I am sure there have been many difficulties I've gone through in 50 years of missionary service. But you know, on that platform, I could not think of even a single hardship that meant anything at all to me. Because of the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus, the privilege of belonging to Him. So anything and everything that I have ever given up for Christ, He has given back 100-fold. And I would be an ingrate, completely ungrateful, if I complained and thought of my life only in terms of hardship. And so I would urge each of you, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, be willing, for the sake of the Lord Jesus, to give up your worldly practices, your love for the world. Instead, turn your love to the Lord Jesus. But it means giving up, sacrificing all you've known in the world, even worldly friends who have turned against the Lord Jesus and who want to drag you back into the old life. You may need to give them up for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And whatever comfort you have had, when God shows you His will, there may be some things you're going to have to give up in order to follow Him and in order to serve Him. And my prayer would be that God would enable you to take a stand in this matter of sacrifice as well. Because of all that Jesus has done for me, because of all that He means to me, I willingly and gladly give up these things which may be dear to me, in order to find a life that is far more wonderful, the life of serving and following the Lord Jesus and of having His favor and His blessing upon my life, upon my family, upon my present and my future, and someday going to heaven to be with Him. I would pray this for each of you, and may the Lord bless you, each one.